Years ago, a Christian lady was visiting patients in a hospital. I'm sure this still happens today, not since the pandemic, but in our day. But it was a particular kind of ministry. I know years ago, like 30, 40 years ago, was very common, where an individual, man or woman, took a burden for people in the hospital, and they were allowed at that time to just go into the hospital, go from one room to another, introduce themselves to the patients, and offer to pray for them, give them Christian literature. If the patient was of a mind to converse about what they call religious things, then the gospel worker would do that. And this Christian lady was visiting in the hospital, and she was asked by a skeptical young man, "Would your God give me $100 if I asked him?" The lady replied, "If you went to see the president for the first time, would you ask him for $100? "Oh, no, I'd wait till I knew him better," was the young man's reply. Then meekly she said, "My God gave millions of dollars to a man named George Mueller. He ran several orphanages in Bristol, England. But Mr. Mueller knew God very well. When you know God better, it will not be money you will ask for, but something that you need more." And he said, "What could I need more than money?" And she said, "The forgiveness of your sins and a change of heart. And after that, there will be time to ask him for other things." Reminded me of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God will take care of the things. So the soft answer struck home to the young man's heart, and he listened to her as she explained the gospel. Psalm 130, I'd like to read these 8 verses. "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say, more than they that watch for the morning. "Let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Verse 4 is where I want to focus. "But there is forgiveness with thee." 2 things I want to consider tonight. 1, consider the nature of God's forgiveness. And if you'll pardon me for a second, I am going to turn the fan on here. And that always feels good on my back. The nature of God's forgiveness. There are some things forgiveness does not do. Forgiveness does not erase the fact of sin. Just mark it down. It will not erase the fact of that sin that God has come to provide forgiveness for. Secondly, it does not erase from our minds the memory of our sins. Now, there is often relief from those memories. There is often a granting of grace that enables us to live with the memories. But don't think that because you found forgiveness that God is going to erase from your mind the memory of those sins. Now, you know that. You live with that. That's one of the things that causes you to keep going to Him in prayer. Not asking for forgiveness again, but just talking to Him about the things that do trouble you. Also, something that forgiveness does not do is it does not release us from all of the consequences of our sins. Oh, we'd love to be released from the consequences, wouldn't we? But living those consequences keeps that sin before us. Though God has forgiven it, the fact that it is before us can be a deterrent to committing that sin again or other sins. Because we know that even though we may find forgiveness, it does not mean we'll be released from the consequences. Be not deceived. You know that verse in Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. There are consequences for our sins. And we should not expect when we find forgiveness that those consequences would end. No, we'll live with them. Just like we'll live with the memory of them. Just like we'll struggle with the fact that they were committed. But they're forgiven. That's the significant thing. Now there are some things that forgiveness does do. All right? Number one, it releases us from the enormous debt of sin. You're familiar with Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. There's a debt that's owed. There's a price to be paid for our sin. And forgiveness brings the payment of Jesus Christ to pay that price. That is the thing that gives one peace. I don't have to pay it. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Amen. Sin had lost a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we find the forgiveness that Jesus offers, then we are able to hold the gift that He gave us. Another thing that forgiveness does is that it brings peace and happiness. Many times in the scriptures you read the word blessed. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Another songwriter wrote, covered by the blood, they're covered by the blood. And he says, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven. There's a peace. There's a happiness. There's a contentment, a satisfaction in that forgiveness. That's why God offers you forgiveness. That's why God calls you to come and confess to Him your sin that separates you from Him. Because He wants to forgive you. The third thing that forgiveness does, and this is referred to in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, it enables us to be accepted by God. You see, when God forgives our sin, He is able, if you please, to accept us. He will not accept us when we have that sin controlling our lives, ruling our hearts and minds. Ephesians 1, 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. His grace makes us accepted in the beloved. Now verse 7 goes on and says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Now we know that the blood is needed for redemption, for certain. But listen to the rest of the verse. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. It is necessary for us to have our sins forgiven. Jesus died so that our sins could be forgiven. We have just read maybe a half a dozen verses that have referred to the fact of God's forgiveness. God wants to forgive your sins. Another thing that forgiveness does for us, it removes the barrier between us and God. Where in 2 Corinthians 5:18 we read, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. We are the ones needing reconciliation. God has not done anything wrong. We have done the wrong. Therefore, we need to be reconciled to God. He doesn't need to be reconciled to us. But we need to be reconciled to him. And he tells us that all things are of God, this God who hath reconciled us to himself. The last thing that we'll look at tonight as far as what forgiveness does, it puts us into God's kingdom. Yeah, that's wonderful. There are so many facets to this diamond called eternal life. So many ways that the light of his glory can shine into that diamond and show us all of the aspects of this relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. When I was a 15-year-old teenager sitting on the back row, responding to the invitation to get saved, not understanding, only knowing that now I can describe it. The conviction of my heart about my sin. That's as much as I knew. Amen. That what the preacher preached from the Bible identified me. I was a sinner. Now I knew what my sin was. I couldn't tell you more. But oh my goodness. I didn't need to know more. Amen. That was enough. All I needed to know is I was a sinner, deserving hell, a sinner that Jesus died for, and I wanted forgiveness. Amen. All I needed. Yep. That was enough to save me. You don't need any more either. Some of you could go get a Bible college degree from 5 different Bible colleges and you'd still be as lost and as dead as you are now. It's not what you know, it's who you know. Amen. And Jesus Christ convicted me, drew me to himself. Now, since that point at 15 until now, at 77, wow, that's a long time, isn't it? It sure is. From then till now, there's so many different things that I've learned about salvation. I couldn't even begin to remember all of the things that I've learned. But I know this one thing, that the Jesus Christ who loved me and died for me, saved me, and then he promised that he'll keep me. Now, that's very important because I know what this guy is capable of. And if how you live could cause you to lose it, I'd have lost it 10 times over. Okay? But no, what he saves, he keeps. Here it is, Colossians 1:13. speaking of God the Father, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, how did I get translated into the kingdom of his dear Son? In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's how I got put into the kingdom of God. When I got redemption through his blood, he gave me the forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. My sins are gone, gone, gone. Surely we could find a number of other benefits to forgiveness, but looking at these few of what it does not do, and looking at the few that tells us what he does do in forgiveness, is satisfying enough for me. And I would like that it would be satisfying enough for yourself as well. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your love. Thank you for the provisions you make for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the forgiveness that you've granted to us.